and welcome to this month's edition of Talk Jet. This is Bill Hart, and it's my pleasure this month to introduce you to Steve Thayer. Steve is in Castle Rock, Colorado, and has a background in business, specifically in franchising, but not in real estate. And what you're going to hear is a little bit of a different story. Steve has been in the business for 6 years, but this past year, 2013, was absolutely his breakout year, where he sold 75 homes. And he's just got such a great story, a great simple story about the importance of focusing on a geographic farm, in this specific case, 5,000 homes, and just absolutely being relentless about his communication while simultaneously building his database. It's just an all-around great story, and no matter what level of the business that you're in, there's going to be a lesson or two for you here. You're also going to notice that he was very excited about the Super Bowl at the time of this interview. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Steve Thayer.
Well, Steve, welcome. Thanks so much for being with us today. How is everything in, you're in Castle Rock, Colorado, is that right?
Yes, Bill. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on board here. I'm in Castle Rock. We're a suburb of Denver. We're actually right in between Denver and Colorado Springs.
Nice.
And
nice.
We're digging out of a snowstorm this morning. We got about 6 inches here.
You are, and as we talk, man, we're just hours away from the Super Bowl. So I don't know, is that having any impact on you guys locally?
A little bit. You can't believe all the orange and blue here right now. Peyton Manning fever is going strong. It's been fun. It's been a great ride, and it gives everybody something to get excited about.
Totally. So
we cannot wait for Sunday.
Absolutely, man. Well, We know where your allegiance lies, and it should, and good luck to you guys, right?
Well, thank you. We're going to have a fun weekend, and hopefully Sunday night we'll all be celebrating here in Denver.
Well, here you go.
Here's
to that happening, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Well, let's get your story a little bit, Steve. You know, as I mentioned to you before we started recording, I've been doing these for almost 20 years, and what I know is there's an awful lot of hard-charging, you know, lead follower, get out of the way, high D in the disc world people out there that are listening right now. And what we don't want to do is spend a lot of time on popcorn and potato chips. They want to get right to it, like, why am I listening to this interview? And so I'm just going to kind of jump right to that. And you just told me that, you know, you were a guy who's been in the business 6 years. You were at that $46 million a year level, but you were building your foundation for your breakout year, which happens to have been last year when you did $22 million and 75 sites. So I've just got to tell you, buddy, that's a story. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's been a fun year. I'll tell you what, it was a lot of hard work getting there, but now that we're there, you know, you set the bar. Now we're not going backwards. We're just going to keep going up from here.
Love it. Love that talk.
Yeah.
Man. Well, that's quite a story, Steve. So tell us a little bit about it, and I guess what we should do is maybe go back to what you were doing before real estate. So what were you doing 7 years ago?
Sure. So my wife and I were in the franchise business. We were the area franchisees, and we owned some of the franchise stores for the UPS store and for Sport Clips Haircuts, two national franchises. And my job was to sell franchises, negotiate leases, find sites for the new stores that went in our territory. We had three states that we had the territory for. And so I probably did about 100 commercial leases and helped build about 100 stores over 10 years.
Wow.
And then we sold our business. And when we sold our business, we sold my job, basically. So I got my real estate license just for fun. I was going to mess around with it until we bought another business. And about 2 months into having my real estate license, I fell into a $50,000 commission, my second commission ever. And so that sold me on real estate, and I never looked back. First year in real estate, I did $75,000 in commissions. Well, 52 of it was one commission. So
that's beautiful.
I thought I was a king, but I haven't seen one that big since, but I know they're out there.
They are out there, man. But what a fantastic way to get started.
And, that's where we started. It was a commercial deal. A friend of mine said, hey, my boss wants to buy a building. He's paying cash. Can you help us?
Nice.
I said, sure, I can figure that out. And I just went with it. And but I learned a lot. So that's how I started in the business in 2008.
Right on.
Back when the market was – I got my license right when the market was bad, and short sales were going strong. So I learned that business right away.
That's right. And well, what a great story. I've got some experience in franchising as well. I used to work for Century 21 years ago, and sold franchises for a while, and you know, as you know, when people don't need them, that's a difficult sale, right? When you're independent,
yep.
and they don't need you, it's tough. When they do need you, all of a sudden, that's a very different game. But what an interesting preparation for you moving into real estate. And I like the idea of kind of, you know, playing around, dabbling, saw that there was an opportunity for a big commission. What got you thinking longer term, though, in terms of the real estate career? How did you get the vision of what was possible? And you told me before the interview, I became an expert, and that built trust. Where did that come from?
Well, I always thought that the industry was interesting. I'm a people person. I love people. I'm a high D, high I.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in the same community now for 15 years. In this community, we've been a part of the business community, part of all the different towns, boards, commissions, that kind of thing. So just know a lot of people. And as I started getting into the business, I realized that it's just the perfect place for me because I love talking to people. I love problem solving. I love helping people find solutions. And, as I got into it, it was just a great fit. And, I went ahead and I spent a lot of time making sure that I understood contracts, and I did a lot of I still do. I think education is so important in this business. So I just got myself educated. I got out there and listened to experts. I aligned myself with lots of smart people like yourself and a lot of good mortgage people and title people and strategic partners that, I just sort of learned the business from. And I've gone full circle. It's funny because now I'm actually one of the owners of the Keller Williams franchise here in town. So
nice.
I've gotten back into franchising. I was out of it for a few years. Now I'm back into it. I married my career and my franchising experience together into one.
I think that's a beautiful thing. And my observation is that, it's so interesting to me, Steve. I coach primarily mortgage lenders, but I've always got a handful of realtors that I coach. And it's fascinating to me, and you'll immediately see this, but I think sometimes we might see something because of who we've become over the years that others might not see because they didn't have the same experience.
Yep.
There's an awful lot of people that get into this business and the mortgage industry, and they really have more of an employee mindset than a business owner's mindset. And clearly you came into real estate with a business owner's mindset, correct?
Yeah. And that's, as a franchise owner and as the area franchisee, we helped franchisees build their business.
Yeah.
And we taught them how to read a P&L, how to do a balance sheet. I used to laugh, but some of the owners we used to deal with, if you asked them how they did this year, all they knew was how much money they had in the bank. They didn't realize they made $50,000 or lost $50,000 on paper.
Right.
It was just, I got this much in the bank, so I'm doing okay.
Right.
So, yeah, you have to come to it from a business standpoint because it helps you figure out, where to spend the money and how to spend the money correctly because there's so many different opportunities in real estate to spend money.
Oh my goodness.
Obviously, lead generation is the most important thing we do.
Yeah.
And just figuring out where to go and how to spend your money wisely. So
I love that.
Yeah, that's really helped me out quite a bit.
Well, that's some great wisdom right there. So let's talk about that breakout year last year, though. That's just, an enormous logarithmic jump. So what happened?
Well, number one, the market got better. So I can't deny that the market's gone up and everybody's done a little bit better.
Yep.
But what I've done is I committed a couple years ago. Actually, the whole 6 years I've been in real estate, I've been committed to advertising within my community for the most part. And so I've just gotten smart about how we spent money. And really, my budget is mostly spent within the town I'm in, the town of Castle Rock, and then within a certain community. There's a community called The Meadows with 5,000 houses in it. And so I've just learned that if I just spend most of my money in this market and I keep hitting people in the market, that it's going to eventually pay off. And that's what's happened. And that leads to more listings. And then once you start getting more listings, then all of a sudden it exponentially grows because then people see that you're listing and then they call you off a sign. So that's really what I've done. It's just spend the money. So I've spent the money locally. I've built a big database and I'm hitting people every month with e-newsletter. I'm hitting people two or three times a month within this community with advertising in different publications and different with postcards, that kind of thing. And just getting out there. And being the expert.
Beautiful. I mean, textbook answer, but let's break it down a little bit. So
sure.
In a world of, Realtor.com and Zillow and Trulia and search engine optimization and Yelp and, everything that is happening in terms of mobile, all of which is real, you've just given me an answer that somebody could have said to me 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
And I, when I first got in, immediately I said, oh, this is easy. You just email people. You know, it's
right.
cheap. It's free. You don't have to. Nobody reads the mail anymore. That's wrong. I mean, people still read their mail. And
yep.
I don't think there's any more mail today in my mailbox than there was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it's almost less. So, and I think it's just getting in front of people. I mean,
yeah.
you know, the door knocking stuff, I do a little bit of that, but it's just having a presence out there. I do
yeah.
a lot of the online stuff too, but the
farming.
Well,
let's talk about the physical presence though, because really I'm encouraged
yeah.
by that and I want to hear you and I've heard.
Yeah, the farming
too.
Stuff, that's the
yeah.
stuff that's right here within.
So 5,000 people in the meadows.
Yes.
Right, that's a great farm. You probably know years ago. I mean, you know, back when I was wearing a gold jacket, and long after that, you know, a typical farm. Yeah, I know it's hard to even fathom, but a typical farm, quote unquote, back in the Tommy Hopkins days and the days when you know this was all just kind of really getting started, was probably 500 to 750. You could walk it. You could keep your arms around it. Some mega agents, before that term was even a term, you know, might have had several of those, right? But 5,000,
yep.
man, that's a big chunk of real estate. So how do you tackle that? What are the vehicles? You mentioned that there are a few different vehicles that you use, and then postcards. Just talk to me a little bit about your battle plan.
Sure. Well, I'm the operating partner of my office, so we have a lot of new agents that come in. I actually tell the new agents, you really want to start, you want to pick 300-400 houses and just
mm-hmm.
make that your market, make that your farm area.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's a little bit bigger, and the reason is because most of the marketing pieces that go out in this neighborhood, there's two or three different newsletters. There's the HOA newsletter. That goes out to everybody,
mm-hmm.
so it's easier just to go ahead and advertise in those kind of things. So I'm in all the publications. Any publication that comes into this area, I probably spend maybe $1,000 a month on
mm-hmm.
all the publications that hit those 5,000 homes.
Okay.
And then last year we started doing some of the Every Door direct mail that the post office has now, which
mm-hmm.
is like bulk mail.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit cheaper. I can mail out, I can do a big postcard, one of the big postcards.
Yep.
5,000 of those for about $1,250. So it costs me 10 cents for the postcard and 17 cents to mail. So I can hit this whole area for a whole year for about $15,000.
That's
so if I'm hitting people 12 times a year, plus all the other stuff, for 15 grand, 20 grand a year, something like that, all I need to do is sell three houses and I'm going to get my money back.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
So your ROI on that
sense.
Is huge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'd say about 40% of my business, I still have to hammer it down a little bit more, but approximately 40% of my business is coming off of my farming.
Nice.
And then about 40% is referrals, and that's the other piece is, obviously, I'm doing everything I can to stay in touch with my people and, provide them with service, provide them
right.
with information all the time.
So let's talk about your database. I'm intrigued by that, and this is always another interesting conversation because so many realtors have very small databases. They just haven't really paid attention to it. They, you know, they've got files in boxes in a storage unit somewhere, but they've never really pulled that out and just continued to, you know, communicate with those people. Clearly, you took a different approach from the beginning, it sounds like, right?
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, one of my biggest faults still to this day is trying to get my database sharpened up. So the one thing I've done is I've always pulled every single email address out of everybody I've ever talked to, and I'll ask permission, but I put
nice.
Them into one of the it's called MailChimp. It's one of the big like Constant
sure.
Contact.
Yep.
And so I have about 2,500 names right now. Once a month, my wife is actually doing it right now as we speak. She works with me as my assistant.
Mm-hmm.
She's putting together my newsletter. We put it together from scratch every month. So it's all relevant. It's all my listings, and it's all stories, news stories, and stuff that we think people like to read. And, I get an open rate of about 500 people every month when I send it out.
That's
and
fantastic.
I'll get two or three or four emails every month from somebody when I send it out saying, oh, yeah, by the way, Steve, I forgot. I had a question on this. Or, hey, I know somebody that may be doing this. So it's funny. It automatically kind of jars people to
so
do
cool.
something.
So
it's
cool.
not, there's not a call to action, but it does get me responses all the time. But it just keeps
yeah.
me in front of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's spectacular. So 2,500, is that the gross number in the database, or is there another number that's larger than that maybe you don't have emails on?
No, that's the big one. And then
cool.
I have a couple smaller databases. Like all of my past clients are really good prospects I have in a mailing list. And what I do with those people is once a month they get a postcard from me with some kind of value. There's a company called Boomerang that I use. It costs 89 cents a postcard. I have about 200 people a month getting this postcard. But this month, for instance, it's buy one, get one free donut at Lamar's Donuts. Mm-hmm. You know, last month it was something else. And again, it's just something of value for them. And it keeps my name in front of them. And it's easy because I just give them my database every month. I just update it and send it to them, and they automatically send it out for me.
And that's Boomerang.
Yeah. So those clients are all over the place. They're past clients. They're anywhere in the Denver area, Castle Rock area. Mm-hmm. But they may also get my farm. If they're in my farming area, then they're going to get my other postcards as well.
Got it.
So
got it. Good job.
Yeah. So people are getting hit quite a bit, but
yeah,
in a
no
good
kidding.
Way. In a good way. And then I do a lot of other things. Like next weekend, I've rented the ice rink in Castle Rock. We have an outdoor ice rink. Mm-hmm. I rented it for 2 hours next Sunday night, and I invited my entire database. And as of this morning, we had about 60 people that have RSVP'd that are going to come, or, you know, with families and stuff. So it's a fun event. It cost me a couple $100 to do, and it's such a great event.
That's a great idea. I love that. You know, in 20 years of doing this, you start to hear some things over and over again, right, that top producers do. And one of the most more common ones is a Disney movie client appreciation event, you know, where you rent out a theater. And,
yeah.
You know, that's a spectacular idea.
They're fun to do, too.
You do that?
I've done other things like that. I bought 2 years ago, there's a minor league baseball team down in Colorado Springs. They're desperate for fans. Mm-hmm. I think I paid $500 for 500 tickets to a game. And I just gave out tickets. I had about 50 people actually show up. But it was great. It cost me $500, and it goes such a long way. All you need is one referral within 5 years out of one of those people, and you've made your money back ten times
totally.
Over.
Now, do you segment your database? I think back to the franchising days, and I'm sure that you went through this when you were identifying your prospects and so forth. But have you been able to segment your database in terms of, like, raving fans, the people that come back to you the most, refer you the most? Do you treat them differently, or are you not really approaching it that way?
That's something that, you know, that's on my to-do list for 2014 is to get better at that.
Nice.
The only thing I really do is that one list of 200 people of past clients and really good prospective people, those guys get a little bit more love than anybody else.
Yeah.
That's
you're on the right track, and I'm sure you will tighten that up.
Yeah, I mean, I need to go back to the Brian Buffini strategy of I need to get everybody's birthdays in there and anniversary dates when they bought their house, and I got to start hitting them with the birthday cards and anniversary cards too.
They eat that stuff up, truly, and that's
so
in your wheelhouse, Steve. I mean, that's clearly who you are. You know, you're as a people person, you're a Tim Sanders calls it a love cat. You know, you're a golden retriever with a tennis ball, and that's what works for you, right? So the more of that you do, and then begin to segment it in terms of, you know, you might have one person that just moved into the Meadows and they get one postcard. That person is very different than the person that's known you for 8 years, bought 3 homes from you, sent you 5 referrals. You know, just as American Airlines or Delta would, you know, segment you differently, you're going to get great benefit as you begin to tighten that up. So I'll look forward to hearing how you do that as time goes on.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me about the team, man. You know, one of the things that I just continue to find fascinating is there really are so many different approaches to team building inside real estate organizations. You know, the first thing that we saw years ago was an assistant. And assistants were everything from, you know, I'll go hang the lockbox and I'll fill the brochure boxes and I'll submit the listing to multiple to I'll pick up your dry cleaning. In your case, you've married this assistant, so that works out well for you. Probably she's pretty good for her.
I just sucked her into the business. She was helping a little bit until the past year when things got to the point where I needed to hire somebody, and it made sense for her to step in and do that.
Nice. Yeah, if you guys can work well together, there's nothing better, and it's one of the beautiful little benefits inside real estate that I think most people don't see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what else? Wait, any other people on the team that we should know about?
Well, so, you know, again, last year I did – I'm kind of embarrassed almost I did this, but I did 75 sides last year by myself. I did not have a team last year.
Wow.
I've been building up to have one. I have a buyer's agent that's going to be coming on in a couple months.
Nice.
And then I'll kind of take it from there. But I really watch – Keller Williams, it's great because we have so many teams across the country.
Sure.
And, And so I watch what all the other teams are doing, and other companies too. There's so much information. Everybody loves to share information. So I love going in Facebook groups of mega agents and just hearing their stories and what they're doing. But now the model's changing. I mean, now you're seeing instead of a buyer's agent, a lot of people are going to showing assistants.
Yes.
Where they're paying by file or by hour. There are so many great, great different models to figure out what works best for you.
Totally.
So year is my year to start building that team a little bit stronger. And the first hire is a buyer's agent coming on really soon.
Right on, man. Well, good luck with that. What are you looking for, by the way, in that, or have you already identified that?
I've already identified somebody,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
They're getting their license to work with us. So.
Cool.
Yep.
Good.
And then the pressure's on me. I need to get out there and make sure I'm getting them enough leads to make a living and to make me a living, too.
Absolutely. Well, you're clear, like you said up front, you're in the lead generation business. So, you know.
That's all we do.
Yeah, you're clearly making that happen. So tell me a little bit about your market. We're sitting here end of January, beginning of February 2014. Most areas of the country, I think, are still kind of shaking off winter and the holidays. And, you know, what I was hearing is last week, suddenly it just seems like everybody kind of started to wake up and activity started up again. But that may not be true for your market. Tell me a little bit about what you're experiencing right now.
I experienced, first of all, December of 2013, a couple months ago, last month actually, was my biggest month ever in real estate as far as closings go.
Wow.
So we ended the year really strongly, had a huge, huge December. A lot of those closings had come from, September and October.
Mm-hmm.
But the closings were great, but it was quiet because of the holidays.
Sure.
We were on vacation for Christmas, and we were on the flight back. We were at a layover in Chicago on the way back to Denver on December 29th. It was a Sunday night. And when I got to the layover, my phone had blown up. I had a bunch of messages. Well, by the time I got on the plane to Denver, I had set up three different buyers and one listing appointment for the next day. So I started the year on December 30th with four appointments. And
that
I said, okay,
so
this
cool.
is going to be a great year because usually, we're drinking Bloody Marys on December 30th watching the football game.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But the market's been great. I think the market here in Denver, the inventory is really low.
Yeah.
And I think it's like that a lot of places. I mean, we're at historical lows right now.
Yeah.
So the great news is when we get listings, we're getting a lot of action on them. There's not as many buyers out there right now, but it's hard. I have several buyers I'm working with, and we just can't find the right house for them.
So let me challenge you.
You're a
business guy. You've operated a successful business for years. You bring, I know you're 6 years into it now, but still, you bring some objectivity to this. You know, if you and I walked into a supermarket and there was a shortage of whatever the product was on the shelf, you would react as a businessman differently than maybe a typical real estate agent. So when you tell me that, I'm just curious, what are you doing right now to help people to understand that, I don't want to prime your pump and say the things that I'm thinking, but I would love to hear it from your perspective. When you're talking to prospective sellers or somebody who's kind of thinking, well, maybe we – what do you tell them about right now in terms of timing about putting their property on the market?
Well, I tell prospective listings all the time, I'm telling them this, that the perception is this time of year is a bad time to put a house on the market.
Yeah.
But in reality, this is a great time to put us on the market. There is no inventory, and things are selling really fast. And I can show them that, and I can show them that we have less than 3 months worth of inventory in the market, and just how many buyers are out there looking right now, especially in our market. Our average sales price in Castle Rock is around $275.
Yeah.
In Denver, it's about $250. So if you're under $300 in this market, there's a list of people waiting for your house right now.
I'll bet.
And what I should be doing, and again, this is one of those things I teach my new agents, but I'm so busy that I don't necessarily have the time.
Right.
I mean, I should be out knocking on doors in those houses in the neighborhoods my people want to be in, letting people know that if you're thinking about selling, this is the time. We have somebody ready to buy your house. And I'll do that once in a while. I'll throw a postcard out.
Yeah.
But, as I build my team, that's one of the emphases is going to be getting out there, knocking on those doors and just letting the people know that we're ready. We're ready to sell your house for you, and it will go fast.
Yeah, man. I think that's the right message. So I don't know if you're a user or a believer yet in video, but I know inside Keller Williams, BombBomb is very popular, and it's a tool that I use. It's, $19.95 a month. I would love to see you, if I were coaching you, I would love to see you with your obvious energy and enthusiasm talk about efficiencies. Of the 5,000 in the Meadows, how many email addresses do you think you have?
out of those 2,500 in my email address, in my list, probably, 500 to 1,000 at the most, I guess, would be in the Meadows. I don't have a lot of email addresses in the Meadows.
But that's the beginning, right?
And you're right.
So one of the things that I would work on as your coach, right? You're not paying me for this, but here goes. It would be, A, let's get more email addresses. And, you know, if you have to have a contest to do that or whatever, make that happen. But then, man, with the 500 to 1,000 you've got, I would record a video right now and say what you just said to me, but you're still in the office. It takes you 3 minutes to do the video. Your wife sends it out. Bam, you're going to get some people coming back to you saying, you know what, we were just talking about that. So,
yeah, and I've seen a lot of good examples of video, and I've just never embraced it.
It is so powerful.
I've thought about it. It's one of those things. I mean, I've tried just about everything. That's one of the things on the, hey, we should do this, try this list to see if it works.
Yeah.
I've just never gotten to it yet.
Yeah, well, you will. You will.
Yeah.
So when you stay in touch with your sellers, I realize it's a hot enough market right now that days on market, I'm sure, are pretty short compared to, big inventory markets, right? But when you're updating your sellers, how do you approach that? Are you making personal calls? Are you debriefing showings? And how do you stay in touch with your sellers and kind of keep them in the loop?
Well, it's funny you ask that, Bill, because I'm looking at my to-do list right now, and my top two items on my list, and this list has been here for a while, that are not crossed off yet. One of them is getting birthdays and anniversaries on my database.
Nice.
And the next one is coming up with a consistent report that I can send my sellers once a week that summarizes the entire last week with number of hits on Zillow, on Realtor.com, on their virtual tour, and the showings and all that kind of stuff.
That's great.
Because what I've learned is, in last year I was carrying, 20, 25 listings at a time sometimes. I let it get away from me sometimes, and I give great customer service. That's all I can really do, is give you good service. That's what I'm all about, and I love that. But a couple times last year, my clients would call me and say, hey, you're doing a bad job of letting me know where we stand right now with buyers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was horrified, because that's what I care about the most.
Of course,
so
yeah.
I need to come up with a better system. I know that some people will say, okay, on Tuesdays at 10:30, I'm going to call you every Tuesday, and we're going to recap the week.
Yeah.
And what's good about that is then you avoid them calling you or them wondering.
Totally.
And so that's on my list, literally number two on my list right now, is to come up with a report that I can send them and then follow up with the call and just say, okay, guys, here's where we are today. Here's the market. Here's what we've got going on. Here's what I think. And, and just knock that out so that they don't have to call me on Monday morning saying, well, what happened this weekend?
No, that's a great idea. And look, man, you told me up front before we even started recording, you said, Bill, I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Yeah,
you're
not going to lie. There's certain things I definitely want to do better, and I can do better.
But it's so predictable, right? If you and I sit on a cloud at 30,000 feet and look down at your business and we say, oh, okay, so let's see. He was running along here with his volume in a garden hose, right? And now all of a sudden it's hit this fire hose where, everything is being strained. These are all predictable systems and maybe even, human resources that you'll have to get, wrapped around it. But you'll do this. I know you will, and I'll look forward to talking to you.
Yeah, I'll share with you when I do, and I'll be really proud of that. So,
yeah,
and we all should be doing that. As real estate agents, every one of us should.
Totally.
I mean, it's all about systems. And what I've learned is, for the first couple of years, I worked off Post-it notes, and I worked off of just scratch pieces of paper. And then I realized, as I started getting busy, okay, you got to be systemized. You got to do it right.
Yeah.
It makes your life so much easier. Time is so important. And any time that I could find, that I can free up, that I can use for prospecting, will just pay off exponentially in the future.
Well, so let's go back 7 years to Sport Clips and UPS Store. Some of the lessons that when you're talking to some of these people who were either, barbers, hairstylists, or they had, I don't know, who were your typical prospects on the UPS side? Did they already have like a copy shop or something? Or
well, a
not
lot of
necessarily?
The A lot of the UPS and the Sport Clips people, but it was kind of the same pool of people. It's people that decided they want to be a business for themselves, but not by themselves.
Yeah.
They go out, they either find a business broker, or they just go online, or they go into a store and they say, hey, this looks like a good business.
Interesting.
So I would deal with all kinds of different people. A lot of quote-unquote ex-corporate guys deal with.
I want to be a business for myself.
Yeah. And so the mindset was always a little different. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody is successful at it, and I think we tried to stress to them that it's a lot of work. You take it home at night with you. The UPS store, December, the business goes up about I mean, literally at least 10 times a normal month.
Bet.
So,
I'll
you know, so you have to be ready. You're working your butt off. And a lot of those people, what they ended up doing was buying jobs.
Yeah.
And what I saw was that the people that were most successful were the ones that ran it like a business. They didn't run it like a job.
Yeah.
And so that's what we really learned is watching those guys that knew how to leverage themselves and buy 2, 3, 4 stores and oversee it and not have to – the business didn't depend on them. It depended on them just managing it but not running it. So,
and I,
you know,
I love that. And that's what exactly the question I was going to ask you, and you answered it without me having to actually ask the question. I remember years ago, I was working for these two guys that were the original franchisees for Century 21 back in the for some people listening to this, the Art Bartlett and the Marsh Fisher days, long before Remax, long before Keller Williams. And they were the big dog, right? This was the early 80s. And I remember that one of the guys who went on to become, of course, a multi-millionaire, he said to me, Bill, here's what we have to teach our franchisees. They've got a money box right now, and there's a handle on the side, and as long as they've got their hands on it and they're turning that crank, they're spitting money out. But we have to teach them to get in a position where they can walk away from that, break their leg, go to Italy for 2 weeks, be away from the business, and it continues to produce revenue. So you learned that clearly as a franchisor, and now you're learning it in your real estate business, and you're doing that exact same thing. So
yeah, and I'm not there today, though. I mean, right
now
my business is 100% dependent upon me. I mean, there's nothing else. Now, 3 years from now, I hope to look back and be able to say, okay, you know, this was the start of becoming – you know,
totally.
To where I can go away for a month at a time or I can do other things and not have to worry. And Gary Keller calls it the seventh level. If you've read Millionaire Real Estate book, you know, we want to get to the seventh level. And that's where the focus is here. And I just need to get there. So this was a great first step for me, getting to the point where I can feel comfortable getting a buyer's agent in and probably
Absolutely.
Bring on a listing specialist.
Well, you know what you're really doing, man, is you better than most, you're building a brand. Most people focus on, I find, in real estate, they focus on the deal, right? They stub their toe on a listing and they focus on the deal. Then they get a buyer or two and they focus on the buyers and previewing property and showing them property and trying to get them to write offers. And while you're doing all of that, you are simultaneously massively focused on branding. And so when you said to me at the top, I became an expert and I built trust. I think that's your foundation right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. And I'm the guy too. I mean, I'm on the Metro District here. I'm on some different committees and the school committees. I'm in fundraising committees. I'm that guy that people know they can call. And I get calls every day and emails saying, "Hey, I need an accountant. I need a plumber. What do I do about this? Who do I talk to about that?" And so I'm kind of the guy that helps connect people together a lot. And
Beautiful.
That goes a long way for everybody. And
That's
I love doing
huge.
It. I don't do it for business. I do it because I think it's fun. I love
Sure.
connecting people together.
Sure.
You know, I'm the guy, if I meet you in the grocery store, Bill, within 5 minutes, you and I, I'm going to figure out some kind of common thread, whether we know somebody, the same person, or we're from the same area, or we do this or that, we love the same restaurant. That's just how I am.
Oh, I totally
see it.
And it's
completely sincere. I mean, my kids hate it because my kids are 12 and 8, and anywhere we go, they're like, you just talk to everybody. You just always talk. And I'm like, guys, it's fun.
This is what I do.
Yeah, they're like, we hate your cell phone, and we hate that we can't go to the grocery store and be there for 5 minutes. You got to be there for 20 minutes because you talk to everybody.
You know what, though? That's your unique selling proposition. It's what makes you sparkle. And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Jeffrey Gittimer, but he's a, you know, wonderful sales.
Yeah, I've read a couple of his books. Is that sales
totally.
Books? Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's got a quote that I posted yesterday on Facebook, and it's just so true. It's what you just described. He says, value first, connections second, money third. Money is not the motive. It's the byproduct and the report card for doing the right thing with value.
Absolutely. And I've completely built my business around that philosophy.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
You.
And I mean, because I've done that, it seems like fun more than work a lot of times.
Totally.
And not to say that it's not stressful, but, I mean, I love the deals. I love when I walk out of a listing appointment with somebody signing up right then, you know?
Right on.
It's a
secret.
It's a high.
It shows that's who you are. That's
yeah, it's exciting. That's what we live for. Otherwise, I'd be sitting on the beach somewhere not working. But we got to work, so we might as well make the most of it. Have fun
Build
with it.
Build this thing. Build this thing, man.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting relationship in real estate that I think is unique to certainly your previous business. You know, mortgage lending, unless you've got cash buyers, and there are certainly markets where there's tons of cash buyers, right? Palm Springs and, you know, second markets very often, beach communities, it's not unusual, Little Prescott, Arizona, a lot of cash buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the vast majority of people are going to finance their real estate. And so that's a very critical part of the partnership for you.
Absolutely.
In the beginning, maybe you were inside an office where there was an in-house lender. Maybe you met somebody. You may have used a number of different people over the years. Here's what I'm most curious about. From your perspective, what's most important to you about that relationship?
So I have relationships with a lot of different people, and one of my philosophies has been I try very hard to spread myself out because and it hurts me because I know people that have a very specific relationship with one lender or one title company, and in return they get some leads back too. Mm-hmm. I probably have given up a lot of leads and referrals from partners because I spread myself out. But when it comes down to it, to me, the most important thing with lenders is communication with both me, but more importantly, the client. If I'm going to give out a referral, I want to make sure that client is taken care of. And if they have a bad experience, it's a reflection on me. So I'm very careful about that. And if somebody ever does not come through for my client, you know, I make sure that I just don't refer people to them again.
Sure.
So I think, but as far as from the lending standpoint, I mean, communication I think is important. And then just staying on top of the deal and getting it to closing and getting it done smoothly and on time.
Nice.
It drives me nuts. And I know the business is hard. I actually, when I first got my license, I also got my mortgage originator license.
Yes.
And I did, my first year I did 2 refis. And I immediately just gave the license back and said, I'll never do that again. this is too hard.
Man.
Is way harder than real estate.
It's hard and getting harder.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I totally have respect for the mortgage guys, the mortgage people out there. Their job is tough.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you have so many other factors involved, and you can't just call somebody and get an answer. You have to go through 15 different channels before you can find it out. So the people that are connected that can get the process from A to Z smoothly, those are the people I want to work with.
Oh, those are the home run hitters, you know.
Exactly, and those are probably people listening to this call.
Well, you know, the old 80-20 rule, right? The Pareto principle, you know, 20% of the business is done by, or 80% is done by 20%.
I do, but you said 93.7 earlier.
It's
I like that,
totally
cause that's probably more true.
It's totally 93.7, yeah. And even in the mortgage business, you know, where those that truly know how to advocate, because I think that's what you realized when you did those 2 refis, so you need an advocate. You need somebody who knows the guidelines, who knows what the lender is looking for, who can begin to really think through ahead of time, you know what, that's going to be an issue. This person's only been in the job a year, or this is their FICO score, or their K-1s from their corporate returns don't support this. We're going to have to go another direction. There was a day when you first got into the business, it had just ended, where there were stated loans, and it was super easy for somebody to do a loan. Today, you need a professional, and I agree with you that the two main things you said are, number one, I know they're going to treat the client, or actually you said number one was communication.
Communication, is the most
keep
important
everybody
thing.
In the loop. Yeah, and then number two is to make sure that sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Yeah, number two would just be getting the deal through smoothly from A to Z and taking care of the client.
But you don't have to worry about it, right?
And the thing is, like, going back to communication, what I found is if you can't deliver on a promise you made on time, but you can deliver on it, and maybe it's going to be a couple of days late, as long as people are in the loop and the customer knows what's going on and they know you're trying and they know what the problem is, 99 times out of 100, they're going to be happy, and it's probably going to help you even more with referrals in the future. The problem is it's the people, and whether it's real estate or mortgage or title or any other business, if you don't let people know until it's too late, then you've totally soured the experience for them, and they're never going to trust you again.
Oh,
and after this experience, they're going to tell people not to use you.
Exactly.
So I just think you just need to stay
and smaller.
You just need to keep them in the loop and let people know what's going on so that they're happy.
Totally. So, Steve, what are your goals for 2014 as we wrap this thing up? Where do you want to end up this time next year?
You know, I think I want to do 100 units this year. I want to get to about $30 million, and I really want to build my team.
Nice.
Those are my biggest goals.
Nice. Well, good for you.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a great year again.
Well, buddy, I have no doubt. I'm enormously proud of what you're doing. Even though we've just met, I'm really genuinely really proud about your, you know, your just incredible growth. It's such an encouraging story. If people want to reach out to you, if they've got a question for you, I'm going to ask them to, you know, of course, be conscious of your time. But more importantly, if they've got a referral for you, of course, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I'd love to talk to people just networking and answer questions all day long. So they can call me, email me anytime. Again, it's Steve Thayer. My cell phone number is always the best place to reach me, which is 303-521-5568. And my email address is stevethayer@kw.com.
Nice.
That's Steve, Thayer@kw.com.
Awesome.
And I appreciate you having me on, Bill, today. This has been fun.
Buddy.
And it really helps me reflect back on the business, and it makes me think about things I need to do better, too. So,
good, man.
It's a great
learning
tool.
A blast. I've really enjoyed the process. I know you've encouraged some people that are out there, and we just wish you a fantastic year. Anything we can do to help you in the meantime, let us know. And good luck this Sunday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Go Broncos.
Well, thanks for spending the time with Steve and I. I just think that was such a cool story. And you can just hear his enthusiasm for the business. And I think sometimes for long-term veterans, it's exciting to hear somebody who can so quickly move into an area, focus on it, generate fantastic results. And Steve would be the first to tell you, even though he doesn't have everything dialed in yet, phenomenal success story and so many great things that we can take from this. So I have to imagine that something in here has struck a chord with you. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is to go to the individual that brought you this interview and schedule a time to sit down with them and have a conversation. Let's unpack one of those ideas. Either it's a geographic farm and kind of going old school with direct mail, in a world where everybody is running towards Zillow and SEO, I got to tell you, I really think that's a great strategy. Or maybe it's nailing down a database and being much more deliberate with a group of people that you stay in touch with on a regular basis using a service like MailChimp. In either case, get together with the person that brought you this interview and have that dialogue and move your intention one step closer to execution. Until next month, this is Bill Hart for TalkJet. Make it a great day.